This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
Welcome to TCG's English Department's A Door Into the Dark. Today we're looking at Macbeth, and in particular we're looking at Macbeth and masculinity. With a particular view, I suppose, this year we're looking at gender within our school and the gender balance. So we're just going to have discussion how masculinity works in Macbeth. And I have Patrick Murta and Sean O'Brien from the English Department joining me, and I again will act as host.
Hello, Catherine.
Welcome. Hello. So, what do we think? What constitutes masculinity in the society of the text, then, do we think?
I actually was making some notes on this very topic earlier. I thought, well, both Macbeth and Lady Macbeth are equating masculinity with violence and aggression, mm-hmm. and men kind of needing to be violent in order to kind of appease their ambitious nature, and things may well have been that way back in the 17th century. So it brings up a lot of like interesting questions, I guess, for the privilege of being in the 21st century, looking back on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's it. Like, what constitutes? I suppose that's what we're looking at this year, isn't it? What constitutes masculinity? What constitutes femininity this year? And why do we have those ideas? Mm. And yeah, so it is very much. Yeah, masculinity is seen as something that's strong yet violent. And again, we had that conversation when we looked at Macbeth, or Lady Macbeth yesterday, in terms of ambition, you know, on Sex Me Here, and I'd dash the brains out if I, you know, if I had to, dash the brains out of my baby, off my baby, if I had to do that. And that's very much, yeah, masculinity associated with violence.
It's interesting that when people are not adhering to that role of masculinity, they're getting called out by other characters. So when Macbeth is not willing to go ahead and kill Duncan, Lady Macbeth points, you know, says, asks him, you know, are you a man? Equally, when he sees the ghost of Banquo and freaks out, understandably, again, she asks, are you a man? When Macbeth wants the murderers to go ahead and kill Banquo beforehand, he also questions their manhood as well, and goes into detail about, oh, there are all these different types of men, but, you know, a real man will go ahead and avenge whatever slight has apparently occurred to these murderers. And finally, as well, Malcolm calls out Macduff's manhood. He says, dispute it like a man, you know. So you are in that society. You are seen as a man if you are violent and assertive in all of your actions. And yeah, I think it's a very good point, Patrick, about in the 21st century, you know, violence does not, like, it's been patently displayed that it does not solve problems. Mm. But at that time, might was right. You know, if you were the more capable army, you were the ones who got to, you know, dominate and exhibit control over everyone else.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if Shakespeare is trying to make a point, seeing as both Lady Macbeth and Macbeth fail and are kind of punished for these violent displays of masculinity, or what was perceived to be masculinity. And I guess that's where I'm coming from. Like, is that just something that we can only see now, couple of hundred years or a few hundred years later, or, you know, is that intentional? Is there a message out there?
Yeah, so do you think Shakespeare's critiquing the masculinity?
Contemporary, contemporary masculinity?
Yeah, contemporary, yeah, I suppose. And that, yeah, I suppose they do get punished both in the end.
And neither of them can actually handle it. They make concerted efforts to be as masculine or more masculine than anyone else around them. And neither of them can handle it psychologically. Lady Macbeth goes mad, and then Macbeth is hallucinating ghosts, and he's paranoid, and he's killing people left, right, and center.
But it's not a sustainable condition. You can't constantly be on top. And of course, Shakespeare, you know, studied the Greek classics and tragedy, and understanding that everyone has these pitfalls and weaknesses within themselves, and that, you know, you're not in charge of your own destiny entirely. That the gods are in charge of it. I think you're definitely right, Patrick, that he is critiquing it. And actually, the one character who tries to display a wider range, or a more nuanced or sophisticated definition of manliness, is Macduff. When, you know, when Malcolm first says to him, dispute it like a man, he says, I shall, but at first I must feel it as a man, you know. And so he is displaying that actually there is more to being a man than being violent, than being assertive, than being in control. You have to be emotionally healthy, and you have to be connected to the people around you.
Yeah.
And that's, and ultimately that's what wins out, rather than the person who is only solely concerned with dominating.
I do feel it tells us a lot about society, though, because that's what Lady Macbeth goes to. You know, she, that's what she attacks, you know, when she receives the letter, to, you know, and starts planning of how are we going to, okay, right, the, you know, all hail Macbeth, that shall be king hereafter. How are we going to make that happen? And, you know, we said, you know, my husband's too full of the milk of human kindness. So so the thing she goes to is his masculinity, and starts, you know, attacking that. And, you know, you're not a man if you don't do this. And, you know, you're a coward, you're yellow, all those things, you know, that kind of motif of yellow is cowardly, you know, that color yellow is cowardly. He does respond, you know, I dare do all that man that may become a man. And I'm doing as much as I can. And I don't know for you guys, in terms of, like say, we're talking about gender a lot this year, and how would you feel if you decided you weren't going to do something and someone started attacking your masculinity or something like that? How would you feel if someone kind of attacked you on that kind of level?
I think
in our society,
I think the fact that we're that bit older than our students, you know, we've lived through, like, life has humbled us maybe a little bit more, and you appreciate the fact that it's a ridiculous standard to try to uphold for yourself, and so you need to be kinder to yourself. So I think being a bit, I'd say when I was 15, 16, if someone started calling out my manliness in some sort of scenario, I definitely think I would have acted more rashly. I wouldn't have had such a clear sense of myself that I would now, you know, and I'm sure that'll still develop as I get older as well. But I don't know. What do you think, Patrick? Is that,
if someone questioned my masculinity now at 33,
10 press ups.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd probably laugh and then feel something towards that person. But definitely it mattered more to me when I was younger, but I was always part of, like, a so-called, like, soft boy group. I liked football, but I wasn't into rugby. I tried it and I was terrible. I was weak, frail. My group of friends went for, like, picnics around the South Dublin coast. Okay. That was our thing.
So you weren't going off fighting against the Norwegians, or you wouldn't be taking up arms, or...
No, I never got in a fight. The first time I got punched was on my wedding night.
Oh, okay.
Not for me. Yeah. That stuff.
Yeah. I think it's...
Can I bring up a point? And I know I'm kind of going back to an earlier part. The thing that makes this complicated, and the thing that makes, you know, people who listen and take the likes of Andrew Tate seriously, you know, all of those kinds of hyper-masculine, there is an issue behind this, which is that King Duncan's reign is only maintained by people who are violent and fight for him. And so, like, do we get to live these peaceful, comfortable lives because someone else is willing to be violent and to be assertive and to be in control?
Maybe we do. We still depend on the alphas.
Yeah. Maybe. Like, but now the alpha, so to speak, is not, like, now nuclear bomb or something is going to do it. Like, it's not going to be this one person who is Belladonna's bridegroom or, you know.
Yeah, our alpha male isn't the person who's leading us into the battle. It's the person who's driving down the street in a Maserati or whatever. You know, is that what our alpha male is? And I suppose that's changed as well, yeah.
I think it's being secure in who you are.
Mm.
And actually, one of the sort of slightly redeeming aspects of Macbeth's character is when he has that moment of clarity and he's like, aware, he's like, I am who I am.
Mm.
And he sort of, you have to kind of admire his commitment to just like carry on. As despicable as that is, he's kind of like, this is who I am and I'm going to be this till the very end.
Blow wind, come rack, at least I'll die with harness on my back.
Like, yeah, that
sense
I'm in
of,
blood, yeah. Stepped in so far.
So you do think he's secure in himself then?
I don't know. So if that, maybe that doesn't sound quite right. If he's secured himself,
I suppose
himself,
at that moment he's probably committed.
He's accepted
it.
Himself.
He knows
I think.
What he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And there's some sort of, maybe glory is the wrong word, but there's some sort of I don't know, sense of purpose within that. And when you accept who you are and you just live that.
Yeah.
And
that's okay so long as you're not like violent in today's society. That's what the alpha is today.
Well, that's it. And we were, you know, going back to ambition and things like that, I suppose, you know, it was seen as that's what a Macbeth's flaw is. And we were kind of saying in our society, it's something that we admire and that we strive to, you know, have ambition, have motivation. And then it's just interesting that that's, he gets it, you know, how does she motivate him? It's through his masculinity is something that obviously was important at that time of, you know, if you're a man, and you know, you must be, yeah, you have to be powerful. Like women didn't have, you know, women weren't allowed to have jobs, weren't allowed to have power. So it was the man's job or role in life to be that. And then, when it questions, I was like, you know, like Macbeth says, you know, I do all a man basically can do. Where is the line of like doing your duty and, you know, making sure that you remain or retain your masculinity, I suppose, like where is that line, and does Macbeth cross that line?
I think those lines get drawn by the society at that time and the people who are in power. So like, because it is a, you know, nepotistic society, you know, like, you know, the King Duncan and then Malcolm keeps pointing out what an awful king he would be, you know, in his test to Macduff. He keeps pointing to, you know, I'm going to be, you know, nothing will be able to fill up the cistern of my lust. I'm going to take everyone's, I'm going to be this quote unquote alpha, this awful man. But Macduff says, all right, fine.
Yeah.
You know, he said, well, you're supposed to be king, so that's okay. So, you know, the lines that got drawn at that time meant that you were allowed to be like, I with my class, I often talk about the idea of sanctioned violence. You know, like Macbeth is allowed to commit certain levels of violence. So he needs to both be a violent man, but also know his place.
Yeah.
And nowadays we don't like to think of someone on high telling us that this is your place, you know, that someone else has that control over us, that who can tell us. But in order for that to happen, everyone has to remove that sense of violence from themselves to allow everyone space to be themselves. Mm. So, yeah, I think the lines of what makes a man get redrawn by the rules of the day, I guess.
Yeah, Macduff's a kind of curious character in that sense. He's purely driven by justice at no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, there's no self-involvement or anything, but it's like, even if Malcolm is going to be a bloody awful leader, he's just like, so be it.
What's it like being a female looking at all of these Shakespearean texts that we've read, that, you know, when Lady Macbeth was first portrayed, it was by a man, you know, that, like every female character was played by a man. What's it like being a woman studying Shakespeare?
It can be, well, yeah, I think I was saying this, you know, quite unique in that I do love Shakespeare. But it's frustrating a lot of the times his female characters can be very one-dimensional. But at the same time, Lady Macbeth is a very intriguing character. And we were talking about that idea, you know, is she demonized in the play because of her ambition, because she, you know, and I think she kind of links in with that idea of masculinity as well. So she feels that she can't, yeah, that her femininity is her weakness, and that she wants to be, and I know we keep using this quote, but unsex me here, and, you know, she calls forth, you know, the spirits to kind of give her the strength and give her the kind of mask, you know, to enhance, I suppose, the masculine side of her personality, her spirit, her soul, to be strong enough to complete that. And I think that's really interesting. And I think we have had conversations as well. You know, I've had conversations with students of, you know, we still value those masculine traits of strength and power, and, you know, it's easier. We're having that cold kind of discussion around gender, and, you know, how sometimes it's, you know, women wear trousers now, as simple as this. So women wear trousers now, but, you know, you don't really see, equally you don't see women or men wearing skirts. Do you know, anyway, it's that kind of idea. And is it easier for women to kind of accept masculinity rather than for men to accept femininity? And I think, I suppose, that then, you know, Lady Macbeth uses that against Macbeth, I suppose, that idea of, like, you know, no, you need to be masculine, you need to be a man, you need to do this, you need to go and kill Duncan. So, and she is a character that I think a lot of female actors actors in general feel like she is a good role to play. I think they like kind of getting their hands on her, and because she is complex, she is that very strong character at the beginning. And then she really starts to regret what she does and is withdrawn from Macbeth. And you know, I've seen that kind of portrayed on stage a few times as well, where it's very interesting, like the whole thing with the children, you know, have they had children, have they not. I suppose, you know, that, like, she does reference that, like, has she given birth to a child at one point, and maybe they've lost the child, we don't know what's happening there. So I've seen, like, that kind of image being brought up. I've seen where, you know, Macbeth and Lady Macbeth have been pulled apart, and they really are, you know, we were talking about how Macbeth is very secretive, doesn't share things with his dearest partner in greatness, and where he kind of turns violent towards Lady Macbeth, which I think is, again, that interesting of, she called up his masculinity, and now she's kind of paying for it, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, she's opened Pandora's box.
She's opened Pandora's box, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, where literally, like, the actresses have come out with, like, bruises on their face and, you know, showing, oh, yeah, wow, like, literally, okay, saying, like, this relationship has become abusive. Like, right. Not only is Macbeth, you know, yeah, the person that he once really trusted is someone that he's actually abusing, as well as everyone else around him. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, Lady Macbeth is a very intriguing character, but again, is she intriguing because she has to go into that masculine role of, you know, taking, being violent, and taking control and things like that. So, you know, is she interesting that way? But there are other characters then that are very frustrating. And then sometimes I think with Shakespeare, like we're saying, you know, does he, because Macbeth and Lady Macbeth are so ruined in the end, what is he saying about, I suppose, yeah, what is he saying about masculinity and about ambition, and these are not, you know, good traits, or this, you know, the strength or the violence, violence and ambition aren't good traits to have, you know. So you never know what's like. Mm. I mean, he lived 500 years ago. Don't know what's going on in his brain. And I think, you know, something that's else is really important is that idea of the Taming of the Shrew, or like even the Merchant of Venice, with anti-Semitic, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. anti-Semitic kind of viewpoints and things like that. Is he against it, or is he just Is he just reflecting what society is, or is he saying that this shouldn't be the way we treat women, shouldn't be the way we treat Jewish people? Yeah, so it's just really interesting, I think, to see that. I don't know if that really answered your question there, Sean, but yeah, it's just, it's intriguing to kind of, like, a lot of the characters are, yeah, good female characters can be very one-dimensional, and it's frustrating that women weren't allowed to kind of, I suppose, be involved in that. But then there are other times where he does, I think, create a really, really interesting female character. Mm. But then you never know what's going on in person's brain.
I feel like I suppose I'm always more willing to accept the idea that Shakespeare, because I'm so in awe of the writing, that he had all very positive intentions an awful lot. I think I'm more willing,
visionary than
I'm more willing to think that he's that he was you know, ahead of the curve rather than just representing it. But I do think that that getting back to a previous point, but to kind of tie it back in, that idea that, you know, Macduff augmented or expanded the definition of masculinity, and that's what allowed for peace to flourish. And when people revert back to stereotypes and revert back to saying, no, this is what, if you narrow down definitions of what people can be, it causes problems and hurt between people. Another time that Macbeth does it, it's a very, very brief moment after Duncan has been discovered as being dead, and the way he puts the conversation to bed, he says, let's briefly put on manly readiness and meet in the hall together. And so he just says, like, let's be men. And then everyone just sort of, you know, stands to attention and goes, yes, let's be men, let's be men. And like, he sort of just didn't allow people to be just themselves, that they now have to be men instead, which is like, it's taking away some of their own individual identity and context. And that kind of allows a lot of stuff to kind of brush under the carpet if you don't give people the space to be them, their entire selves, rather than just fitting into like, this is what a man is, and therefore you have to be like this.
Yeah, I think that's interesting in terms, I suppose, you know, there are different representations of masculinity within the text. And I suppose if you go back to just to kind of build on what you're saying there about Macduff and how is he presented in the text, and he is a foil to Macbeth. So I suppose rather, you know, Macbeth is just out for himself and out for, you know, the strength and the violence, whereas Macduff is very much what is just, what is right. And, you know, is that what a man should follow? You know, not what's going to get me, you know, the crown, or not what's going to get me, you know, the $2 million house or whatever. In our own society, it's what is the right thing to do? What is the just thing to do? What is the fair thing to do? And I suppose in the end, fairness wins out. And I think, in terms of, you know, Macduff, and as well as that, going back to the idea that he's all about the fairness and the justice. And when he's talking to Malcolm, I know you kind of said he said, oh, you know, I think it's kind of, it's the philandering. I think, I suppose, Malcolm's kind of talking about her having affairs with the mistresses, and he's like, oh yeah, well, you know, whatever. But as he kind of starts saying more and more, Macduff is kind of going, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
No, this isn't, you know, oh my gosh, you're going to be worse than Macbeth. That I can't handle that. And I think that's kind of, even though, he's always on, or he always wants to be on the side of what's right and what's just and what's great for Scotland. And he's on the side, I suppose, of the bigger picture and what's going to be successful in terms of the bigger picture, I think.
Yeah, he's also, after that, the discovery of Duncan's body, is very, like, critical of Macbeth's supposed, like, emotional outburst. Yeah. He can't sort of remain calm. He questions why after killing those guys.
Yeah.
We could have questioned them or something. He's got like that cool, calm and collected.
Yeah, very steadfast.
Let's get the truth. Like,
at all costs. But I mean, he does get his like justice for Scotland by decapitating.
That's true. Yeah, I suppose that's it.
He marches out of the castle like holding the head.
Yeah.
Which is quite like a violent image.
Is he decapitating masculinity?
Maybe. Yeah.
Probably a better way to phrase that, but anyway, something like that.
He's castrated.
Is that too much for me to say?
No, I think that's fair.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you have anything that you'd like covered in our podcast, if there's something that you'd like to a little bit more know more about, whether is it a poet or another aspect of one of your texts that you're studying for your course, whether it's senior cycle or junior cycle, do get in touch. You can email the English department at englishdepartment@templecarrickschool.ie. So get your requests in. We'll be delighted to tackle some of them in an episode in the near future. Thanks, guys.